Hey, West Salem Redevelopment Advisory Board. March 3rd, 2021. Time is 7:33.
Morning, everybody, and thank you for jumping on the Zoom call this morning. Hope everyone survived the ice storm. We talked about it briefly before we started here. A lot of work. Anyway, why don't we go ahead and get started? Please, we can get a roll call, that would be great.
Okay, Jeff Miller.
Here.
Brandon Fallman, not present. Kathy Goss, not present. John Hannum.
Present.
Tyler Jackson, not present. Mark May.
Here.
Samantha Ross. Samantha Ross?
Here.
Brittany Davidson Cruikshank?
Here.
Michael Ryan?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Has everyone had an opportunity to look over the agenda? Additions, deletions, any changes? If not, I'd entertain a motion.
I move to approve the agenda as presented.
Michael second, thank you. Any further discussion or any discussion? All in favor, either raise a hand or please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, moving on to minutes. Everyone have an opportunity to either listen or read the minutes from the last, and if so, if there's a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Either Samantha or John seconded. Any further discussion? Perfect, moving forward. All those in favor, please say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect, thank you. So moving on to action items, we have some fiscal 21-22 budget conversation, and we have a guest, if I see correctly. There she is. Oh, Brandon just jumped on as well. Hi, good morning, Brandon. Callie, do you want to go ahead and jump in and start talking about fiscal year 21-22?
Yeah, sure, thank you. Good morning, Chair, members of the board. My name is Callie Leinenbach, and I'm a senior fiscal analyst in the budget office. I'm also filling in and helping out UD in the interim while they are looking for a financial services manager. So I'm happy to be with you today. I'll just share my screen here. So I put together a little presentation. This slide is showing the steady growth in tax increment for West Salem, as seen in the upward trajectory in the graph over the last many fiscal years. And the average growth in increment is about 12.3% based on the most 5 recently completed fiscal years. So that's a very healthy growth. And the last 2 years of assessed value grew by about 5%. We have a model to calculate tax increment, and the growth assumption we use there is 3%, which is more conservative than we have been actually experiencing here in this URA, but that's a good thing. We're growing more than we were estimating. So with that, I will move on to the projects with proposed new funding. There are other projects that are carryover projects that I'd be happy to speak about too. But here are the two projects that we're proposing received new funding. First is the grant program for improvements to commercial and industrial properties with new funding of $900,000. And then $2 million in new funding for the construction of 2nd Street. There is design and construction are both included in this figure of 5.93 million. About 930,000 still remains for design in the budget. And then just a little bit about the timing of the budget process. In March, you all review and recommend the budget, and then as well as staff prepares and compiles the budget document. The budget committee process happens during the spring and 5 meetings there. And then in June, the city council reviews and adopts the budget. So I know that was short, but I can't figure out how to stop my presentation, so I'm just going to stop sharing my screen there. If you do have any questions about the carryover projects, I'd be happy to talk about those as well.
I had a quick question regarding the design and that sort of thing of the second street. Is that just paying for city staff time, or is there additional consultants outside of the city? Do you know the answer to that?
I can speak to that.
Yep.
So, no, we do have, so we have Public Works Engineering, and we also have a consultant. Century West is the one that was selected for the project. That incorporates a lot more than that too. So we have, under them, we have environmental, we have archaeological, we have landscape architecture. So it's big. It's a pretty big project. And I'll speak a little bit more about that as we get into the Second Street discussion. But for the budget, so we have, the price includes the design as well as the construction. And what we're doing now is just making sure that we have everything in place so that we can design and construct that first phase. So, and I'll speak to it later. But now we'll have everything in place, with assuming this gets approved, recommended to you guys and approved at agency level. We'll have the funds in place to do that work.
Tori, I have a follow-up. Yeah. Just how is Century West selected?
So it's through a public request for proposal process. So it was sent out.
Bids.
Yeah, received. Yeah, it was a public notice and received bids. Then we evaluated. I think we received like 6. And then internally with engineering staff, urban development, based on the materials presented, Century West was selected.
Where are they
on Tori?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I'd have to look and see. I'm not sure. It's Oregon. I want to say Salem offices, but I don't have it in front of me. It's fairly local.
I'll Google it here as we're talking. Any other questions? Well, Callie, that seems pretty easy and painless for you. Hopefully that wasn't too stressful.
No, it's all good. I like presenting budgets that have good news attached to them, so this one does. Everything's doing well.
So really quickly, too, while we still have her, this is an action item, so we'll have to entertain a recommendation so that she knows she's ready to go and take it forward as a budget package to the agency.
Right. So anyone would like to forward a motion to approve?
I can make a motion to approve the budget as presented.
Second.
Thank you, John. Mark. I think Samantha tried
to. Samantha had her hand up.
Yeah. Any further discussion on the budget before we vote? No? Okay. All in favor of approving, please say aye. Thank you. Motion passes. Callie, thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Have a great day.
You too.
So, Tori, next up on the agenda is the COVID-19 business support and resources.
Yep. So,
I've shared some of the grants and resources we made available as we went from summertime and transitioning to colder weather. Seth has been doing a lot of that work. Seth is in our urban development department office as well. We don't see much of each other other than Zoom for the same reason. But he's been on the ground with a lot of these businesses with PPE and financial support and others. So this will serve as what we've done as well as what we expect. There have been new announcements as far as additional funding. So I'll let Seth take it from here and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Great. Good morning, Chair Miller and the board. I popped into a couple of your meetings before, but I don't think I've introduced myself. My name is Seth Leonards. I joined the city's UD department in July, and since joining, a significant part of my role has been providing support to our businesses during this COVID-19 pandemic. So I was asked today to provide an update on the city's actions, but before I launch into what we have already done in the past, a few programs from the state and partner organizations were recently released. So I'd like to share those with you because some of these are kind of big programs. The one is a commercial rent relief program. This is through the state. They just opened $100 million to fund new commercial rent relief to provide financial assistance to small businesses and landlords adversely impacted by the economic conditions of COVID-19. The program will open for applications on March 8th, so less than a week away. And the program targets landlords with tenant businesses with 100 or fewer employees who are behind on lease payments. And they will forgive those lease payments as long as they meet some criteria. And then, Tori, what's the best way for me to share some of this with folks?
You can share your screen down below.
Like a summary of the programs.
Yeah, we can have, I'll send it out or Teresa can send it out.
Okay, so that's
what we'll get it to you.
Okay, so there's some links in here and stuff, and I can't give a full description, but some folks on this call may be interested in that. So that's a big one. The second one is there's also a mortgage relief program. There's a deadline for that is March 14th. So the COVID-19 mortgage relief program helps Oregon homeowners who are struggling to make their mortgage payments. For eligible applicants who are currently receiving unemployment benefits, it will bring your mortgage current and make up to 6 monthly payments directly to the mortgage servicer. And for those who have returned to work but are still behind on their mortgage, it will bring the account to current. So I can share the information of both those programs. Then also, I think everyone's probably quite aware of like the Paycheck Protection Program, but the Small Business Administration just made an announcement a couple weeks ago now that they were gonna hold new applicants to businesses smaller than 20 employees until March 10th. So if you still are aware of any businesses who may wanna to do a PPP draw, especially for our small businesses, now's a good time for them to get that application processed a little quicker. The city has offered quite a bit of free PPE, and we are out of the first draw of that, but we will have more PPE coming probably towards the end of the month. And the last program I want to talk about, this isn't specifically COVID-related, but I think will help businesses through this time. So Willamette Workforce Partnership has an incumbent worker grant program that just recently opened. And this is a grant that provides funding to help businesses effectively train and retain employees by providing skill upgrades and process improvement training for existing full-time employees. So basically, if you want to take an employee and train them on a new machine, a new process, move them up to a more senior position, this is a matching grant that they'll help pay that wage for you. One business we recently talked to had kind of small fabrication, had 4 people working on the floor, but they didn't have a floor manager. They identified someone that they wanted to move up to floor manager, and they used these funds to train that individual. So those are the ones I figured I'd have your attention for the most part in the first few minutes. So I want to talk about things that are going to be coming, and then I will now go into like a summary of what we've been doing. So since June 2020, the city has offered 4 rounds of grant programs to small businesses and 501c3 nonprofit organizations. The Urban Development Department has issued approximately $570,000 in grants to 161 businesses. Additionally, the city received and distributed free PPE to approximately 200 businesses. We provided technical assistance throughout these grants in both English and Spanish, and we created a salemgrants@cityofsalem.net email to track and respond to inquiries. We've also connected and supported our local businesses with grant programs offered by other organizations, including Polk County, Marion County, Willamette Workforce Partnership, Business Oregon, and Central Willamette Credit Union. We've really been actively communicating with our businesses throughout this period. We've been sending out periodic emails with a summary of business resources and other COVID-19 related information, sharing information in English and Spanish on social media, including the Ciudad de Salem Facebook page, recording informational videos in English and Spanish, and distributing information through the city's network and our partner organizations. We're about a dozen other organizations we work with quite a bit and send the information to them. And then communicating frequently with the Statesman Journal and Salem Reporter, and we've had, you know, press releases and articles going to them. So in terms of the actual additional programs, one of the first things that we did was we expanded downtown seating options for food and beverage businesses. So last summer, the city took an action to support our food and beverage businesses who were negatively impacted by allowing expanded seating on street parking spaces. They could use those spaces for free. And the use of on-street parking spaces has helped our restaurants, coffee shops meet the COVID-19 distancing requirements. We have 15 food and beverage businesses in downtown, and they're using about 1% of the total parking area to do that. So, you know, we're still protecting parking spaces. And we are looking into long-term ways that we can continue to do this program kind of post-COVID. I mentioned the PPE distribution. So in December, the city ordered approximately $40,000 worth of PPE through Business Oregon and coordinated with Salem Chamber to deliver and distribute the PPE on a first-come, first-served basis. We had an application form. People would fill that out. The Salem Chamber would package that up, and folks would go down, pick that up in a contact-free way. We had approximately 213 small businesses order PPE. And in total, we had about 130,000 masks, 40 thermometers, 931 boxes of gloves, 120 bottles of hand sanitizer, and 1,500 packs of wipes. And we are anticipating getting another order of PPE potentially by the end of the month. And we'll share that information when we know more. In terms of business grants and outreach, so the city has offered 4 rounds of COVID business grants and issued approximately $575,000 in funding. We've done extensive outreach to raise awareness of each of these grant programs. So the first grant was a grant for small businesses and 501c3 nonprofits who had not received payroll protection program, the PPP, or economic injury disaster loan funding. This was a total of $183,000 distributed to 58 businesses. Again, this was businesses with 0 to 40 full-time equivalent staff could apply for up to $5,000. The amount ranged a little bit on your business size. And it was only for businesses that engaged directly with the public were eligible. So we could target that funding a little bit. A total of 144 grant applications were received. 58 businesses met the requirements, including 39 women-owned businesses and 20 businesses of color. The second program that we did was a 501c3 cultural and heritage nonprofit organizations with a physical presence in the community. This was $25,000, and we were able to fund 7 organizations. This launched in August, and so 501c3 programs could apply. Service organizations were not eligible. And funding was for organizations that have been under a mandatory change in service or closure due to COVID-19. Priority was given to organizations that had not accessed other COVID-19 financial assistance programs. We had 12 complete applicants, and were able to fund 7 of those applicants. So those two programs were city funding, and I would say I think something the city did quickly with their funding is that they said, you know, we know there's these state pools of money that'll be more broad. How can we target our funding to businesses who are especially impacted, or maybe those who would fall through the cracks of these other funding programs? So the third grant program to talk about is the Business Oregon grant program round three for businesses and 501c3 organizations with less than 25 employees. Tori and I worked closely on this one. This was Business Oregon did a total of four rounds of funding. This round, I think rounds one, two, and four were pretty straightforward. Round three had a lot of these little rules, sort of if this, then not that, if this, then not that kind of thing. So figuring out who was really eligible was kind of tricky. So for that one, 39 businesses were funded for a total of $105,000. And then right on the heels, So for that one, we had 39 small businesses funded and nonprofits, including 22 owned businesses and 5 Latino-owned businesses. Reporting of demographic information was voluntary, so not all businesses reported. And we ended up having some unused grant funding for that, which we returned. And then right on the heels of this round three came round three funding, came round four funding. So for quite a few of these folks who hadn't received money, they were able to like jump onto another grant right away. Then the city also did a grant for temporary outdoor coverings and heaters for mostly for restaurants, but also for, you know, large manufacturing places or a place for employees that they could socially distance. So you may have seen a lot of the tents and heaters around town. A lot of those were funded through the city. We had 57 businesses get funded for that for a total of about $260,000. Major employers were eligible, as I said, for up to $10,000 to purchase outdoor temporary tents, and eating and drinking establishments were eligible for up to $5,000. We received 81 applications and awarded 57 of those. So in addition to the grant programs, either administered or directly funded, staff has also connected businesses with grant opportunities in the area and support our businesses through that. So those were, Central Illinois Credit Union, Marion County, Polk County, Business Oregon, Employment Workforce Partnership, and other foundations offered funding. Since I've started, a lot of our work has been in, really business support mode, doing whatever we can to help our businesses get through these tough times, and we will continue. We'll continue to do that. My email address is slenerts@cityofsalem.net, spelled SLENAERTS @cityofsalem.net. If anyone has any questions on these programs or wants to stay updated on programs, if we go forward, we use that business resources email that goes out every couple of weeks. Is a great way that we send this information. I believe that was a lot. Thank you all for the time and the opportunity to be here, and I can try to answer some questions if you have them. Or we can move on.
Samantha, I think you have a question.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, perfect. Good morning. Question on the outside tents and the grants that were or the applications that were submitted, how does one get approved opposed to the other not being approved? What is the criteria?
So that, do you have like a specific case in mind?
Well, you had mentioned there were X amount of applications submitted, and out of those, I believe it was like 91 submitted and only 50 something were approved.
Okay, yeah. So some of them is you had to meet the, it was open for restaurants or for, the larger businesses that needed like an outdoor space, as like a break room or something like that. So some businesses just didn't meet that criteria. And then I believe others were, you may have to get like a permit as part of that, depending on the size of your tent. So also if you couldn't meet the standards, if you couldn't meet the regulatory aspect of submitting it, then you also probably wouldn't have been funded. But I would imagine that most of them just fell into, a financial business, services businesses applied, and the grant just really wasn't intended for folks like that. It was more so for businesses that needed to continue their operation.
So I had a quick question. At one point, it seemed like the city had the funds. You had mentioned that you had gone out, not you specifically, but the city along with you, to really promote these programs, to get people to apply for them. At one point, it seemed like there was some dollars that were available, but if you were PPP initially, you couldn't, but then that changed, and then you could. And it seemed like there was some leftover pot of money. Did that ever end up getting tapped into? Did people actually utilize that program to its fullest extent?
Right, so that was the third grant that I talked about. That was the round three. That was what Tori and I worked on. And yeah, it was, what basically happened is round one and round two were pretty straightforward. You know, you can get up to, say, for example, as a small business, you get up to $5,000. You could access that in round one. Say you didn't apply in round two, you could access it in round two. Say you didn't apply in round one or round two, you could access it in round three. Say you had applied in round one or two, got a portion of the maximum amount, but didn't get the full amount, then you could get the difference in round three, as long as you also hadn't pulled money from PPP or EIDL. So I don't know if you followed me on that. It was just, it's kind of a confusing thing. So what ended up happening is a lot of these businesses who applied had already received the funding, either in round one or round two, or had already gotten too much PPP or EIDL to be eligible. So we did actually, we sent back the city. So in that instance, the city applied for $238,000. We distributed $105,000. There was a 50-50 match on that, so the city actually got their matching funds back. And then the remainder of that money went back to Business Oregon, and I believe it was reused in another way, but it didn't go to our local, that was money that didn't go directly to local businesses at that point.
And one last question for me, was there any kind of resource, or is there a resource that shows, as an example, the downtown area was decimated for a long time, and to Samantha's point, there's the tents. By the way, I drove by a few times on the way home and almost snatched someone's dinner off their table after driving right by them. It is right up on the street. A few cocktails I saw on the way home. Anyway, is there any kind of report that shows people that applied but were not granted that? In other words, was it a 50-50? Was it a 90-10 ratio when people were granted those dollars and people were not? And if they were not, why they were not?
Do you mean specifically for people who met the criteria and didn't receive it?
Or for people that applied that needed the help but didn't meet the criteria and why they didn't meet that criteria? And this is looking back, retrospective, so it's always 2020. I get it. I'm not being critical at all. I'm just asking the question if that was tracked at all.
Yeah, so we did. We received 81 total applications. Of those, 57 were eligible. Of the 57, two were major employers and 55 were eating and drinking establishments. I don't have the, you know, I think this goes back a little bit again to Samantha's question of just some didn't meet this criteria of either being an employer or being a restaurant, you know, coffee shop. But we have, for everyone that wasn't eligible, everyone that wasn't deemed eligible, we have a reason that it wasn't deemed eligible. So we do, that is certainly tracked. But I don't have that information offhand for every business.
And then for the good of the order, I looked up it's House Bill 4401, which is the $100 million fund that was out there for commercial tenants. And that passed, and I just was going to give out a website because I can't share it, I think because we're YouTubing or whatever. Oregon4biz.com /coronavirus-information, blah, blah. You'll be able to find it. I think that's a pretty critical tool for people, especially for the people that I work with. I work with a lot of people that are paying rent that have been struggling commercially, whether it be a coffee shop or a restaurant or whatever the case is. And so I'm going to be certainly sending that out to a lot of my clients, and I would imagine there's some of you that know people as well, whether it be business-wise or personal, that could be looking into that, so I would encourage it. And I apologize, I can't share it, but anyway.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Seth?
If I can just piggyback on that comment too, I've heard that there may be multiple rounds of that funding, but program applications again are March 8th, so something we do want to get on quickly. And then it does require coordination between the landlord and the tenant. So it's not just, you know, it's not just as easy as me as a business tenant jumping on and doing the application. It takes a little coordination. So the quicker we can get that information out, the better. And I agree, it's a program we've been waiting for some time and could really help our businesses.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, we'll send it. Doesn't look like there's any other questions. Thank you very much, Tori. I'm sorry, did I just step on your...
No, I was just going to say, reiterate what Seth mentioned. We'll be sure to share it to everybody so you don't have to scribble it down or anything like that. Following this meeting, we'll send out information through email, so look for that.
Great. So thank you very much for joining us today. You're welcome to stay on and listen.
Yeah, I will stay on. Thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Next on the agenda, Second Street Update with Tori.
Yep. So I'm going to share my screen here so we can... Okay. All right. I'm not going to share my screen. Okay. I don't know if it's going to let me share my screen. Okay, I'm not going to do that. I can't see anybody right now. So my computer is requiring a security connection to be able to share it for recording purposes, and it'll make me quit, so I'm not going to share. Anyway, so Second Street, as if you can remember, will be doing the design from Wallace to Girth. And so with the design, we're looking from Wallace to Girth, and it'll be in phases. So the first phase is to Patterson, where we don't have a street at all. And so if you are a business or if you have property around Second Street, you would have been noticed that we have survey crews out there. So that's the starting step. As I mentioned before, we have Century West Engineer Consultants. They have offices in Oregon, Washington, Idaho. So it's there, Portland, and they have connections to Salem. We've utilized not urban development specifically, but Public Works has used them on other city projects. So they're starting their work to do the phase survey. So as soon as they have some ground, some understanding of what the project entails, there will be public involvement. So as soon as that information is ready, we'll be notifying Let's Drive, of course, will be included. We'll have probably a public charrette, like an open house. This is assuming, you know, it's likely it'll still be Zoom. Hopefully we'll get to a point, because as we get into this, it will likely be almost summertime. So hopefully we'll get to a place where we'll be able to actually, you know, get people together. Because I think in that scenario, when you want to have some interaction with people and a charrette kind of a setting, where you're looking for feedback and elements that you want to have included in this design, those forums really work well for that. So that's hopefully going to be the case, but you'll know about it. Just like the survey information got shared, I think with a pretty broad group, let's say residents and property owners over there, the notice for meetings to be involved will be even broader than that. So we'll have Let's Rev, the agency meeting, and we'll also have a full public meeting. We'll bring people together, talk about design elements. And really what that means is, you know, the street classifications is a local two-lane street, but it's really intended to be kind of a carryover of Edgewater. So there are design elements that can be incorporated to make it feel more than just a street. So that's where that interaction will be critical. So as far as timing, the survey work's happening now, so we'll have a lot more going into April. environmental really done in June. So really probably be around, you know, July, August, mid to later summer, where we'll start to have some of these interactions with the public. So at those meetings too, the consultants that we have, the engineering consultants, Century West, will be present. So you'll get to meet some of them and ask questions. Aaron Edelman, who's been involved from the beginning, for those of you that have been with us, so we've been talking about Second Street, he's been the engineer from Public Works the whole time. So he's still the project manager from the Public Works side. So he'll be handling that. He'll be a familiar face too. So there has been some activity out that way. Truitt had some encroachments into what is the city right away. And really because it was not just their property, the old Oregon Fruit too had some things removed. And so there's been some activity out there. So if you've heard, if you are near there, Brandon, I know your property's right over there. You could look right down that way. So it hasn't been the city. It's been Truitt going ahead of us because we're coming in with our survey crews. They wanted to remove some of that encroachment. So it just, you know, without there being the rail line that used to be there, the train used to be able to go through there. And it has just been dirt. So it's been kind of over the years, buildings have just kind of moved into that right away. Now that we're getting to a place where we're designing, and once we're designed, we're going to move into construction. They wanted to take the time to remove those things. So if you have seen activity out there, it's been private, you know, the businesses doing their part. Any questions on public, on the timing, the project, activity you've seen out there, any notices? Happy to talk about that.
Yeah, I have one quick question. So with the surveying and the design of Second Street, is that designed to have public parking along Second Street? I know it's a pretty narrow corridor with, you know, parking for any that be relegated to, you know, Patterson or Myrtle or Bentwater and surrounding.
Yeah, so it won't be like as you come around Rosemont area where they have the, 45 degree angle will be parallel. So if you see, as far as what the finished street will look like, Goodwill is a good, you know, they've done half street improvement. So they've had the sidewalks, the street trees, all that. I will say that we're including in this discussion of a carryover of an Edgewater fill. Their plans to locate their, like, the acorn style lights. Jeff has mentioned before, you know, you can get more streetscape, pedestrian friendly, main street kind of lights. It's acorn style that have brackets, so you can hang lights, you can hang, you know, banners, things like that. So we'll look at incorporating, that'll be some of the discussion. Is right now it's been handled as just a typical local street where you have the tall LED, you know, your typical street lighting, and we'll probably move some of that around. So it's not, when you look at that, it is complete on that side of Goodwill. That's my point. So you can get an understanding of what that street improvement looks like. But what's not incorporated in that is some of these additional elements that we want to include to have to carry over that Edgewater field. So it will have parking. It'll be parallel. It won't be the 45 that you get as you come around to Rosemont. Any other questions? So more to come. So what I'm, yeah, surveys out there, not much really to see or hear from. We really need to have base information. So as soon as we have a little bit more to share, then you'll be definitely included in that. So I just wanted to give you, I had multiple calls because there have been heavy equipment out there. It's not the city, but we are out there with survey crews, and that's something else that drove a lot of calls to me as well, is that we put that notice out there that we're starting this work. So if you hear it, direct them to me and let them know that we'll be reaching out to do public interaction as well.
Sorry, just one last question before we move on. What is the timing of, maybe you said it and I didn't catch it, the timing for public involvement or for our involvement to be able to weigh in or give
I think we'll know more surely by the summer. So a lot of it is due diligence up front. So we'll have the survey work, the topography, geotechnical, archaeological, environmental. So there's just there's a lot of a lot of work up front to address those things. And then once we move past that, it's not really the pretty stuff. It's just making sure that everything's going to work as we get into design, because the design will have to incorporate, you know, if there are sensitive environmental or other issues, we'll have to address those before we can maybe even work around them. So we'll know more by for sure in the summer. So we'll probably have at least a month lead time. So I'd say late spring, early summer is when we'll probably be notifying people of, you know, if it, the first discussion is going to be with Westrap, for example. We'll go through the typical, probably go beyond the agenda notification that we usually do. We'll probably reach out to the neighborhood association notice and say, hey, Westrap, we'll be talking about design. But we'll, similar to Eunice's project, not as much as Eunice's project, where she's been all over the community. This is very West Salem specific. We will be informing the agency, so that'll be citywide, but we'll be a little bit more targeted. We'll have multiple meetings, multiple opportunities for people to weigh in.
Thank you. Any other questions for Tori? Doesn't look like it.
Sorry, I couldn't share my screen, but I didn't want to, in the middle of talking, have it quit Zoom and then have to come back. So thank you for your patience.
All right, well, moving on with the agenda. Looks like we're kind of wrapping it up early, which is great. I always like that. I think everyone else does. If we're a partnership, let's say a business association, Samantha, why don't you jump in for WSBA and give an update? I know you guys had a luncheon this last week, and share a little bit about how that went.
There were, sorry, you caught me off guard.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Lyle Morissette, Polk County Commissioner, he was on there with Attorney General, and then there was one other gentleman. We had a pretty good turnout, 20 plus, close to 30 attendees, so I feel like we're coming back together as a community. Tonight, we're meeting the golf tournament board to discuss specifics on our golf tournament in July, late July. So I'll be sharing that all with you guys. Hopefully everyone attends. That's all I have for now. Any questions? No? Okay.
I have to say, those business association meetings are a lot of fun.
Yeah. And we've got a couple. The next guest speaker we have, I believe, is Tori. Did we decide Tori and I think Seth? Maybe? For March?
Yeah, we're coming. No, we're be there in April, I think. Is that what you said?
Right, April.
Yeah, Seth and I will be there. So I'll be speaking to Grantson. Seth will continue his COVID business assistance roadshow.
Yeah, thank you, John. Oh, I like it.
Great. Is there any updates for the neighborhood association? I wasn't able to tune into that. Anybody else have an opportunity to get in there and check it out? Does it look that way? Well, with that, if there's not anything for the good of the order, I know we probably just need to talk about next meeting topics. If there's anything that someone would like to add or bring back to the service, Samantha?
This is so unrelated, but I do have a question for Brittany. So, you know the trees that we've all seen that like literally look like they exploded from the inside out and they're all in? I always heard that the sap, the sap gets pulled, it explodes. Or was it just the weight of the tree?
I haven't heard that part about the sap, but I think it was the weight of the tree from all of the ice that really caused the damage.
Okay. I've been curious about that for like a week and a half.
Yeah.
Any other any topics for next week that anyone, or next month that anyone would like to throw out there for the next agenda?
So on the calendar, if it's okay if I take a second, I included so ODOT's starting their work for Wallace Road, the Wallace Road paving and the accessibility improvements. I think it'd be good to have them come back and do an update. If you guys agree, I can reach out to them and see if they're available.
Yeah.
And we have a new, I think there have been changes to the neighborhood chair for the neighborhood association. I think, I don't know if it's the third change. So it might be good to have them come out and speak too. It's been a while since we've heard from them. We, you know, it's been some change too over there. So I was going to reach out to them if that's okay with you guys, if it's of interest.
Yeah, it would be it for me anyway.
Okay.
Other people are nodding in agreeance. John, you didn't nod in agreeance. Thumbs up. Well, very good. It looks like we're at the end of the agenda. Unless there's anything for the good of the order, we're going to have the gift of time this morning, which is always great. Mark, you good?
Good.
All right, everybody. Well, have a great day, and thanks for jumping on this morning. And enjoy the sunshine while it lasts for the next day or two.
Thank you, everybody.
See you. Your turn, 8:19.